Department for permission to use the word Griffin in our name, because they kind of have a copyright over it, right? And I'm telling you, as far as I know, this is a unique formation of Campus Community Radio, a unique partnership between the university and students. And I don't think it's anywhere else in Ontario, maybe not in Canada. So let's go see our first studio.
Did College Royal broadcast from here and ran the wires down to our studio. See, there's a door straight ahead and a door to the left. And if you were building a classroom, you'd really think that's really odd. But this door to the left, this was us. We were just this big. Everything that we did was in here. And when we get back to the station, I'll show you a photo. So, the console itself takes up about this much room, so we had about this much room for meeting and whatnot. Obviously, no production studios or anything like that, so we didn't start programming until 2 p.m. because we needed the morning for training and production. And in February of 1970, we started programming out of this closet. Exactly right. So a lot of campus stations were doing the same thing. We were running wires through the tunnels to cafeterias along the university. So we had wires in the three cafeterias in the South Residence. We were connected up to the Mills Hall central area. We had something in Johnson Hall, and I forget where else. So, and it was all closed circuit. It wasn't broadcasting. So that's what we call it, closet to cafeteria radio. And a lot of campus stations were doing that. In 1971, we imported technology from the U.S. called carrier current, and it pumps the radio signal through electrical wires, and it was kind of like a CIA thing where they could put a little transmitter in a receptacle, and you wouldn't know it was there, and it would broadcast its stuff down to the next office or the next room, and they could pick that up. And we imported this technology from the U.S., and we sort of kept it on. We were on 820 AM. And because it uses electrical wires, we wanted to send it to the North residences. Well, there's this main trunk line of electricity on College Avenue. And so our signal decided to hop on that particular trunk line and go on downtown. And the Department of Communications was out investigating some other complaint, and they found us, and they were completely surprised. They had no idea this technology was in Canada at all. We were off campus. They kind of freaked out. They closed us down. And then they discovered other stations were starting to experiment with the same thing. So it was all hush-hush. Stay on campus. We won't bother you. But we were on record as being shut down. So it wasn't until 1971 that we got formal permission to actually have an AM station on campus. So we were at 8:20 AM on campus. And we're also at 104.1 cable FM, so you could actually connect Rogers cable to an FM receiver and get us on that thing. So we were AM until we got our FM license in 1980.
Where is AM 2 there? Are you going to head over to the roof of Lennox and Roddington? Which one of those is the...
I'm trying to remember where we put it.
Because I think that was a highest point before...
No, like we were pumping it into the electrical system, so it didn't have to be high.
It was only AM carrier current.
And only AM carrier current. We were never broadcast. That's right. Right. So again, in terms of the partnership between the university and the students, the chief engineer was the technical people at the university, and they donated time, a specific amount of time every month, to supporting us. They did the technical drawings. They reviewed the technical licenses and hired the engineers and all that kind of stuff. So they actually participated.